Hold on to me as we go, as we roll down this unfamiliar road. And although this wave is stringing us along, just know you're not alone.
Nope.
'Cause I'm gonna make this place your home.
I figured I didn't want to get you flowers because you were back, but
this is better than flowers. This is how you moisten me up.
That's how I let you know I missed you.
Thank you, buddy. I missed you too. Glad to be back.
Yeah, great to have you. Let's talk about your weekend. By the way, welcome to our party. He's John. I'm Drew. Great to be here with you today. Thanks a lot for joining us. Congratulations on surviving the weekend, as did John.
Oh.
Let's talk about it.
Thank goodness. I will say, I mean, I let it be known on the air, I think, even, but told you privately that I was excited but nervous for Rock the Country, which, for those that don't know, it was a music festival in the middle of freaking nowhere. It was technically Redick, Florida. It was at a place called Majestic Oaks, which I guess is like a huge equestrian farm in the middle of nowhere.
Redick, Florida.
Yeah, and being there, you really realize how there's nothing there. I mean, there's a gas station on the corner, and outside of that, your nearest establishment is really nothing much. And over the span of 2 days, I think they put almost 100,000 people in that place.
That's very similar to the original Woodstock in Woodstock, New York, or Elmira, New York, wherever it was.
It was a sight to behold. So we got up Friday. My buddy Alex picked me up, and we took the scenic way, which was really nice. Dude, Ocala is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Like, underrated. When you drive through the backwoods of Ocala and you see all those horse farms and just the most lush, beautiful green grass for miles, super underrated. We drove up, and here's my fun food tidbit that I did not share with you
yet. Yeah, thank you.
So my dad and brother, it was me and Alex and my dad and brother, and so we're, like, coordinating. We're like, hey, well, hopefully when we get there, we can get there around the same time and have lunch together. We stayed. Our Airbnb was in Hawthorne. So we start looking for places to eat in Hawthorne, and there's literally a couple options, like two. And the one with undeniably the best reviews and a lot of people talking about, Diane's Old Time Barbecue.
Okay.
So my brother and dad get there first. We get there maybe 10, 15 minutes after they did. You walk in. I mean, it is just exactly what you would think small town Florida barbecue spot is like. It's all good old boys, all country folk, small little place. And we sit down, we order. I'll say right up front, the food was amazing. I got the beef, all of the barbecue was great. My brother got these egg rolls. They were called like hornet rolls, and they had pulled pork and coleslaw in them. Yeah, but we're sitting there, and there's like all these little platters on the wall, and it's Sunny. It's like a cowboy, and it says Sunny on it.
Like Sunny?
Yeah, and I'm like, what the hell? And so we kind of notice it, and we're talking about it, and then I notice on the other side of the wall, there's legit Sunny, like the guy, Sunny, over an open pit. And this place is called Diane's Old Time Barbecue.
Yeah.
So the server comes over, and I'm like, hey, we gotta ask, what's up with the Sunny stuff? Are you guys just fans of Sunny's? Like, everything on the wall was Sunny's related. So long story short, this small place in a town where I think we found out the population is like 1,700, just outside the Ocala National Forest. I did not know this. Sunny started in Alachua, Gainesville area. Sunny is from Gainesville.
Did not know that.
Well, when he sold off the company or whatever, as the story goes, his daughter decided she was going to open up her own little mom and pop barbecue place in the middle of freaking nowhere, and Diane is Sonny's daughter. How random is that?
That is random.
Yeah.
So that place comes right from the lineage of Sonny.
Yeah, yeah. Sonny's daughter, Diane, opened up Diane's Old Time Barbecue in the middle of freaking nowhere in Hawthorne, Florida.
And really the only thing I don't like about Sonny's is it's like a chain, and therefore they use, in my opinion, they don't use high quality meats.
Yeah, and I have to say, I don't think we found out this fun fact until after we were done eating. I would have never imagined or thought there was any connection to a Sonny's. Like, clearly the menu was not Sonny's-esque. It was very very different, and the food was amazing. But I thought that I felt like I was like in this very special place, knowing I was eating at a barbecue place straight from the loins of Sonny without being Sonny himself.
Man, you know that's my mom and dad's favorite.
I know, that's why I said that almost needs like a pilgrimage that the Garabos need to go on out to Hawthorne just to see what Diane's old-time barbecue is all about.
I wonder where the closest Fat Boys barbecue is. I think there's one in Crystal River.
Is it it's a chain?
It was. There was one in Orlando, and I believe there's still one in Crystal River. They serve the food on that like that metal platter.
Oh, I like that.
Me too. And man, they had some great queue.
Yeah. This was really, really, really good, and a great base to start the day.
What'd you get? Did you get ribs? What'd you get?
No, I got beef. I got sliced beef.
Yeah.
So I got a sliced beef platter with collard greens, green beans, coleslaw, and Texas toast. So I was like making beef tacos kind of with my Texas toast, and it was really, really, it was really good. And then we headed to our place, which. Dude, so freaking nice. Like, I just don't know that I properly appreciate that part of Florida. We were in Hawthorne on this little lake in the middle of nowhere, quiet as can be. We fished all weekend, didn't see or hear from a neighbor. Beautiful live oaks all around us, like just a really, really cool spot. And that night, we headed to the grounds. It probably... about 5 o'clock, and my big concern was getting in there.
Yeah.
So at like 5 o'clock-ish, we pretty much pulled right in. Like, you could tell there was a lot of movement, but we studied the map and found a back way to go into the parking spot. And then we started the pilgrimage, which I said it was about a mile and a half walk from the lot that we were in to get to like the front of the stage. And it felt like it didn't really. I felt it more yesterday morning when I got home than any other time. But Friday was so much damn fun. We saw the real headliners were Travis Tritt,
yep.
Lynyrd Skynyrd, which I didn't realize what was up with those guys. So
none of the original members.
So Johnny Van Zandt joined the band in 87.
Oh.
So he's still the lead singer.
Okay.
And then the dude that was like the lead guitarist is an OG as well. So there's essentially the two closest things to original members.
Sure.
It was fun. It was fun. Everybody else loved it. They came out and did this extended Freebird encore where they – that was actually cool. They brought out the original lead singer's hat, and they set it on the mic stand, and then they let him sing the last verse like on the screen, like him singing, which I thought was pretty cool. But then it was time to ball with the ba to dang to dang diggy. Dude, I was so – effing blown away by Kid Rock without knowing what to expect. It was like a spectacle of all spectacles. I felt like he did all of the old stuff, which I didn't even know if he was going to do. He played for almost 3 hours. He came out for two separate encores. Almost every song had some element of fireworks or pyro shooting into the air. And I feel like I remember this from when I saw him in Tampa all those years ago. I think... like the politicization of Kid Rock has not caught up with his music. Because when I saw him in Tampa, I was like, damn, he's still kind of like a rapper guy. For example, he still comes on stage to the song that he did with MGK, Bad Mother Effer. That's the song that he comes on stage to, which is a very straightforward hip-hop song. He did songs where he played the piano. He played songs where he was just on the acoustic. He broke down and did a probably 15-minute DJ set where he did Old LL and Run DMC and Beastie Boys.
DJ
and
Bobby Shazam.
Bobby Shazam. I mean, it was and it was so cool, too, because my dad, you know, not the biggest fans of crowds or it was a little outside of his comfort zone. And here we are having been in this field in 100-degree weather all day. And I'm thinking at this point, he's going to be falling out. And I'm looking at Alex and looking at my brother and looking at my dad. And the entire time, everybody was just captivated. And he was really damn good. And I will say, based on what I saw the people who were there, what they looked like, what they were dressed in, I assumed it was going to be a pseudo-political rally. Donald Trump was not there. Tucker Carlson was not there. He did not utter Donald Trump's name once.
Trump was there on the video, though.
Funny thing about that. So that was the encore. That was the encore that he came up for.
Okay.
And the interesting thing about that video, that's the same video he's been showing for about 8 years. That was the same video that they showed when he was at the Amp when we saw him all those years ago.
Oh, so, wow.
I have a theory that maybe Don is distancing himself from Kid Rock. That's just my theory. You know, things are going really good with Don and the black vote currently. Maybe he didn't want to go run on stage or be directly associated with a guy who may or may not have been dropping N-bombs in the Rolling Stone.
Right.
So either way, very underpoliticized. He had a couple moments where he kind of got onto Joe Biden, but I expected it to be more kind of Aaron Lewis-y, where he got in between every song and had a message. He did not. It was very much about the music and very, I would say, rap heavy set for 2.5 hours. All the old stuff. So that was awesome. We get back to the car. We made the decision to camp at the car for a while, and it took us well over 2 hours to get out of there. And there were people that were there even longer than that. So when you have a one lane road going in and out of there, I think you have to expect it. So we kind of hunkered down.
It's a good move.
And then Saturday, this is really funny. This is my other tidbit for you. We had a very near catastrophe moment. So we're obviously recovering from the night before.
Yeah.
We get up, we get around. My dad makes it known right away, which I knew was going to happen. He's like, I'm not making it out there again the second night. He's like, that was awesome. Not for me the second night. So me and my brother and Alex, we're like, we're going to go into town and get some breakfast.
Okay.
So we go to the only other restaurant in Hawthorne called the Hawthorne Cafe.
Okay.
Had a great breakfast, corned beef, hash, biscuits, gravy, the whole deal. And we went into the grocery store, and we're in the grocery store, and I get a call from my dad who says, the cleaning lady is here,
okay,
and she's telling us we have to check out.
Like you have to leave the place.
You have to leave the Airbnb.
The cleaning lady.
The cleaning lady.
Tells you have to leave.
So I immediately call, or actually I didn't even have to. I looked at my phone and the guy who rented us the Airbnb has called me repeatedly.
And I'm like,
oh my God.
Oh, I think I know where this
is going. So long story short, there's no other way to sugarcoat this. I'm an idiot and I had only booked it for one night. I had been thinking that I had booked it for the 7th and 8th, but really I had just booked it the night of the 7th, checked out on the 8th.
Oh no.
So he's like, so at this point, keep in mind, it's getting to be noon, and this guy's like, you guys got to get out. My cleaning lady is there, and you got to get out. So to tell you that I was devastated would be an understatement, because I felt bad for everybody, obviously. So we're hauling ass back. Alex is on the phone calling hotels around Ocala. Everything is booked.
Of course.
We're looking at Airbnb. Everything is booked. So we've gotten to a point to where the only option is, we're going to have to drive back to my parents. If we go to the show, we got to drive an hour and a half back to my parents. So we get back. My dad's frantically loading up the truck. I'm just like dead inside. And so I make one. So my dad makes a comment, actually. He goes, the cleaning lady said it was the owner of the house who was coming tonight. So I guess the property manager is different than the owner of the house. So I call the property manager and I'm like, hey, I heard a rumor. It's the guy that owns this house that's coming to stay here tonight. What can I do to let you stay here?
Yeah.
To have you let us stay here?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, okay, let me call you back. And long story short, he's like, I talked to the owner with a little bit of added value. He's willing to let you guys stay the night tonight.
Wow.
So it was a freaking miracle. Totally just major bummer of a situation.
Oh.
And the funny thing is that we booked directly through them the second night.
Yeah.
So it ended up being a much better situation for everybody.
Sure.
Everybody got more money and the whole scenario. So we went out there on Saturday, just the three of us. And dude, it rained and we were thinking that was going to be just amazing. Dude, it turned into a sweat pit. It was hot as hell. We hung out for a while. We watched Brantley Gilbert. We left before Jason Aldean came on, and we had a great night. We went night fishing and hung out all night and made it back nice and early yesterday. But it was an awesome weekend.
Good.
Considering I thought a bunch of things could and would go wrong at something like that. My only beef with the festival period, we talked about the VIP when I was here,
how
VIPs are now just the GAs.
Yep.
The VIP bar lines the first night were like, I think we waited in a bar line for like 45 minutes to get a drink. So that, and it seemed better the second day, but they had misters, they had, you know, AC'd bathrooms and all of that. Considering that there's no infrastructure out there, I thought they did a pretty decent job. Nobody really, no fights.
Anybody falling out because of the heat?
I didn't see. They did. They had an article in the, I think in WESH, that said they had 21 people taken away for heat related stuff and like 300 medical interactions on site for people who were, dude, Saturday at some point, I sent you the picture of me sitting down in the ground. We were all at that moment like wondering if we were going to make it, especially make it on the mile plus walk back to the car. But dude, it ended up drying out in the breeze walking along, because when you're walking up to the grounds, it's just these beautiful open fields on both sides. So the sky was pink, and I mean, it was just a really, it's a really cool area and a great weekend.
Hell yeah. Way,
I felt very American. I rocked the country as hard as I could.
Welcome back. Glad you rocked the country. On behalf of the country, we appreciate
you rocking us. Oh, was it the country? Was it the country or like the country?
Oh, you're rocking the country.
Oh, see, I thought we were just rocking the country.
Oh, no, no, no. You're rocking country.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then.
And thank you. On behalf of everyone who lives in this country.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. How was your weekend? I saw you had a nice family dinner.
Man. So Friday night was great. Bertie and I went out to dinner with our friend Anastasia. We went to Casa Santo Stefano. Phenomenal meal. Great place. The Columbia family of restaurants are all awesome. Great service. Shout out to Mateo. We got a couple of pictures of that the wine spritzer stuff.
What
that
is
they
it?
Have.
Is it not a sangria?
No, it's like an Italian sangria. Oh damn it! Now I gotta look because it was really good. I think it had some blood orange in there. Mm. Really delicious stuff. Mm. And so we enjoyed dinner, and then Anastasia had never been to the castle, and Bertie and I were putting the hard sell on her, like, you got to check this place out. It's so interesting because people have an idea that it's something more than a nightclub, like it's a sex club or something, but it's really just a nightclub.
Well, you hear about the cages, and you hear about the whipping, and, you know, I mean, I understand how people get there. I mean, I'm still there.
Right. Yeah. And she was there too. So it was like my friend Jen showed her around the place. And then Anastasia goes, well, like, where's the dungeon? We're like, we're sitting in the dungeon where they're showing 80s videos.
Oh, like you, she was thinking there was going to be like a dungeon, dungeon.
Yeah. She goes like, no, where's the dungeon where like people are tied up in chains? And we're like, no, that doesn't happen here. So great night there. Hurting the next morning, so we went to the lab near downtown Tampa for some amazing coffee. They've got a hangover burrito with like boar's head bacon, potatoes.
Was there beans in this potato?
No,
dude, I like beans in a breakfast burrito. I don't think it's very utilized.
No, it's not.
But there used to be this breakfast burrito I'd get when I lived out in Lake County, and it was called like the whole 8 miles or nine, or what do they say? The whole 9 yards? Whole 10 yards? Whatever it was. But it had potatoes, beans, bacon, ham. And I just feel like not a lot of people are putting beans in breakfast.
Yes, yeah, no beans, but it's a fine idea. And so then we got ready to head to Orlando. Celebration, which thank God we didn't have to go into Orlando. So Xander drove separately from me. Because he was going to go see a young lady friend afterwards.
Oh, he didn't bring her?
Did he ask? No. They're not on that level. They're taking it very slow. and so he met me at Bertie's house. We all drove from Bertie's house to Celebration, and then I drove everybody back. But went to this place called Reggiano's in Celebration, an Italian joint.
Is that a chain?
I think it is, because I saw a couple of them listed on Instagram. But I will tell you, food was beautiful and phenomenal. Some of the best service I've ever received in my life. It was one of those like professional waiters, like a guy who looked like he had been waiting tables for about 40 years and delivered just exceptional service. It was so wonderful spending time with my parents on their 57th wedding anniversary celebration. My sister, her two kids there, my brother-in-law, who's more like a brother, my son, my girlfriend, my mom and dad. Like, it was just a really, really special, special dinner. Food was phenomenal. Conversation was great. Just that vibe. I left there, like, floating. And it was just, it was magnificent.
Only
man.
One, by the way.
There is only one?
Only one. Reggiano's of Celebration.
So good. So good. Recommend it for any special occasions.
What's that area like? Like, that downtown area? Is it like, it's kind of... from what I understand, like the villages, or it's like a, just in the sense of it's all like motif, like it's meant to feel like something or like a downtown area.
You feel like you're in, you know, in the movies when you go, they show a town that no one really lives in.
Yeah.
That's Celebration. Yeah. It's a Disney planned community.
Yeah, it didn't go the way they planned, right?
No,
story?
Yeah, it did not. It's like the Truman Show, kind of.
Yeah.
Like that, like not a fake city, yeah. but
like a prefab city.
Yeah.
Like not something that was built over years and years and years. It was like they built the whole downtown center.
It's such a weird feeling to it, and always has been. But I mean, the dinner was phenomenal. I'm just so lucky to still have my mom and dad. I just, you know, it's just so special. And my dad picked up the check for his own anniversary.
What?
I know. I wasn't.
Whoa. All those heavy hitters at one table and Frank's picking up the tab on his own celebration in Celebration.
I know. I didn't know how hard.
We just had this discussion last week about how you don't let anybody pay the bill.
I know. I feel like Ryan and I should have fought my dad harder on that.
How hard did you fight?
All right, you be Frank, on getting the
I'll
bill.
I'll be Frank.
Oh,
the bill.
I'm going to embody my brother-in-law and me in one person. All right.
All right. Hell of a dinner.
And here's dinner. Here's the check, sir.
I'll be taking that. Thank you very much. Hey, kids. Daddy's got this.
You sure?
Why? You thinking about it?
All right, you go ahead. My brother-in-law and I, we laid down like the French army. We did not fight him.
You pulled like the female on a first date move, where you made a mild interest that maybe you would, but there wasn't much actual meaning behind it.
No, there was almost no meaning. Like I don't know what it cost. It had to be with tip. Close to $1,000.
Oh boy,
had to be.
Okay, hold on. Let me. I'm looking
had
at the. Okay, yeah, we got some.
I mean, it was a very expensive meal. My mom got a bottle of Prosecco. Everybody got dessert.
Wow. Oh dude, yeah. Oh man,
couple
yeah.
apps.
Every. I mean, it appears that every entree is
between $30 and $50.
I was gonna say the least $30.
Yeah.
Okay. Party. How many again?
There were 9 of us.
Oh wow, yeah.
And I mean it was not cheap. It was, but. You know, my dad, I would say he insisted on paying, but I don't think he even had to, I don't even think he had to insist. I felt bad because, like, my brother-in-law and I could have split it down the middle, but then I wouldn't have been able to pay rent this month.
Yeah.
I feel like we should have put up more of a fight. I know my dad probably still would have prevailed, but I also feel like we probably still should have insisted.
So you guys just what, got together and left the tip?
Well, no. No, my dad... My dad took care of it all.
Well,
happy anniversary, mom and dad.
57 years strong.
And may I even make
did
it?
You,
I'm going to make
a card.
This, I'm going to yeah. Oh yeah, I got him a card. Okay. I'm going to make this look even worse because it was also a celebration for my son's upcoming. This is going to be hard to say. 21st birthday.
Oh man, that's coming soon, right?
Yeah, the 18th.
Oh,
a week from tomorrow. And my mom and dad got my son the same thing that they got me for my 21st birthday. They paid off his car loan.
Oh, my God.
I know.
And wait, did they announce that after the check came or before?
I think my mom told him on the way to dinner.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, like as we were walking up to the restaurant.
Well, I mean, at that point, what's another
$1,200? What's another $8,000? I know, and they did it for me on my 21st birthday, and honestly, it saved my life. Like, I had thrown a rod in the Samurai, and it was no longer drivable, but I had payments on it still, and I was upside down, and I didn't know what to do, and they paid it off for me.
Oh, man. Dude, that's nice.
I know.
They're
amazing people.
That is really, really, really nice. Man, dude,
she got
21.
Yeah, I know. And my mom got him a book. I laughed so hard. She got him a book called How to Be a Good Roommate. And the funniest part of it is
he gave it to you.
No, that would have been better. No, they texted each other afterwards, and my mom sent me a screen cap of the text, and she said, "Like, I hope I didn't offend you by getting you that book." And he said, "No, I look forward to reading it to learn how I could be a better roommate for my friends."
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, "Your friends? My mom got you that goddamn book, so you'll be a better roommate now." Like. Read it now. Don't wait. Like, read it right now and start putting those things in motion.
That's funny.
Yeah, so it was great. I'm so lucky. I love my mom and dad so much. I try every day to make them proud. I'm so glad that I can finally, at 50-something years old, do things that make them proud. And then except pick up the check, of course. And then drove home, slept my ass off. John, I woke up yesterday, and I don't know what I did this for. I went and I worked out. That was great. And I got a wild hair up my ass to play golf.
Oof.
When we were driving through Celebration, there's a golf course, and it's like 5 o'clock, 5:30, and I go, who the F is playing golf at 5:30 in the afternoon? Not knowing that 24 hours later, I would be playing golf. I'm an idiot. Ooh. You should not be playing golf in this weather.
It's so hot.
Oh, my God. Like, it's insane.
It is unfit for human activity outside for the most part, the last two or three days especially.
Just brutal. I played at a weird course, too. It's in Lando Lakes called The Groves out past Caliente. They call it the longest short course in Florida.
Is it 18 holes?
It's 18 holes, but it's a par 66 instead of a par 72. Like, they have...
Wait, did you say the shortest long course or the longest short course?
Oh, damn it. The longest short course. So there are more par threes than your average golf course. And it's weird because I shot a 79. I was 13 over par. I've never shot in the 80s before, let alone 79. But it's six strokes kinder and a bunch of holes shorter than your average. So I don't know. That 79 probably translates to like a 92 or a 90. So I don't even know what I shot.
What was your time? Like, what was your time of day?
We teed off at 3:30.
Oh, my God. Isn't that actually the scientifically hottest part of the day?
It had to be. I don't know what I was thinking.
A couple has sparked a fierce debate after revealing their very unconventional relationship rules online. In order to keep the relationship running smoothly, the pair have accumulated a list of rather non-traditional guidelines, and it pretty much means flirting to get things. This includes Lexi, that's the girl in the relationship. She's a graphic designer, being able to accept free drinks from other men on nights out, and her husband, who is a server, flirting while on the job to secure higher tips. The first premise is that Lexi is allowed to get free drinks while out, whether he's there or not, saying that it is the responsibility of the man offering to either make his intentions clear or ask if she's in a relationship, saying, I've never lied and said that I didn't have a boyfriend or anything like that. There's no deception. And then on the other hand, Jack, when he's out serving, he's known to be flirting with women customers to get higher tips, with many of them leaving their numbers behind on the bill. Is it okay or not okay to encourage your significant other, accept your significant other flirting with others to get free stuff or more money if they're a server?
These don't seem comparable to me because he's doing it for work. Like, when you're a server, of course you have to flirt. Hooters waitress, male server with female clientele, of course you've got to flirt. She's doing it for drinks.
Well, I will say, I agree with the premise, generally, but also, money is money. And if he's going to end up buying the drink, he would have bought it with the money that he earned flirting. Ooh. So if she's going to, and if we're going to go off what they're saying, this could just be an errant drink or, you know, I don't know how much she's getting into the back and forth to earn the drink.
Right.
But really, that's money that would have come out of his serving pool anyway. So I always... I think it's okay. I mean, if we were out somewhere and at the bar, and let's say we're like with a group of people, so it's not just Danielle and I sitting with each other.
Right.
And like everybody's kind of mingling around, and she comes to me and she goes, this guy just bought me a drink. Like, I'm not automatically turned off by the idea. Like, if he wants to push it, you know, then maybe things can get a little awkward.
Right.
But you know, if he's buying drinks without figuring out your situation and not knowing what's going on, that's one less drink than we bought. So I think I'd be able to sleep okay.
727-579-1025 and 800-771-1025. Is it different if you're there than if you're not there? Like if she came home and she said, hey, I was out, just to let you know, I was at Kahuna's enjoying some of their delicious fajitas.
Well, first of all, we've got a problem. We've got a problem in that she was at Kahuna's without me. There's already a major issue. I would say, in the interest of full transparency and honesty, yes, it hits a little different.
Right.
I don't know that it's going to be like a problem. I mean, if she says, hey, we were out and this guy came over, I told him I was married, and he still said, hey, well, you're not paying for any of your drinks tonight, and he just put all of his drinks on my tab, I might go, oh, really? And that's it? Like, there was no – I may have a thing or two to say, but I don't know that it would be a major issue.
No. No, and if Birdie was out with some friends and she told me, hey, you know, I probably don't have to let you know, but just to let you know, a guy bought me a couple of beverages, it's not going to bother me. Like, good, you didn't have to spend your own money on a drink. Hopefully, you know, that's where it ended, but I trust you.
Well, and what's the line on the other side of being a man and flirting with females to get more money?
Yeah, I don't know what that's like.
I also feel like, having worked in the Villages forever, there were a bunch of, like, thirsty older women.
Yeah.
That, to me, is just a different thing. You know what I mean? Like, some horny old ladies, they just have that relationship where they're going to be kind of flirty and suggestive and things like that. But I don't think anybody, them or me or anyone, thinks that, like, we're leaving together. You know, if you're working at a place that's predominantly young girls and you're some hot stud and you're, I mean, I don't even know what would be conceived as or considered as flirting, if you're somebody who's bringing drinks and serving, just being very friendly.
I guess I think probably bars and restaurants in like the Hyde Park area. Like, if you're a young strapping dude in his 20s or 30s, and there's all the cougs there in their 40s with their cosmetic surgery.
I mean, I think there's almost, if you're a young guy serving a table of young women.
Yeah.
90% of the time, I say there's some element of flirting. Like, without knowing the exact definition of flirting as it appears in the dictionary, I think that kind of playful, hey, ladies, how we doing? You know, whatever it may be, I think that there's going to be an element of that almost always.
Sure. 727-579-1025. Drew Grabo live with John Senning. Who are you?
What's going on, guys? Everett.
What's up, Big E?
Everett.
Not much. My ex used to do something funny when we were at the bar. She would actually, a guy would start flirting with her, would buy her a drink, and then she'd just bring the drink to me. Like, she'd order something I liked, and she'd just bring it right over to me.
Now, that's how you keep things under control.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about, like, the evolution or the next step of it, where you actively send your girl out to seem available to get drinks, or to then bring back to you and or so you don't have to pay for drinks.
That's a boss move.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I would never do that, but I will say I was highly disappointed because this happened quite a few times. I thought at least one of the times I would have got roofied because they were trying to roofie her, and it never happened.
I'm sorry. Keep hope alive, Everett.
Everett, how's the work coming for the hosting gig of Moe's special? You working on material?
I mean, I got a good five right now that worked. I got up in McCurdy's actually the last 2 weeks in a row,
nice.
Which is really, really hard. It usually takes two months.
Oh, wow.
And both times I actually crushed. So I think that's going to be good. I'm doing my first showcase this Friday, and that's going to be 10 minutes, which I normally do five.
Killing it.
So I'm going to see how that's going to work out. I don't know how that's going to go.
Just out of curiosity, without knowing, like, in a place like McCurdy's, when you say it's hard to get up, are they not just going off a list? Do they have names, and they pretty much just pick who they think is funny or has been around?
The place I go to, Sunshine, they can have up to 25 people go up at a night. At McCurdy's, they only do 10 spots, and you know, comedy's so hot right now that people just sign up, and you can't re-sign back up until you do your set. So it literally takes about 2 months to get in there.
Oh, wow,
that's interesting.
Keep it up, dude. Yeah. We're real proud of you. Can't wait to see you on the 30th at Side Splitters.
All right, guys, have a good one.
Appreciate
Thanks, buddy.
It, buddy.
727-579-1025. Drew Grabo live with John Senning. Who are you?
It's Rob. How are you?
Hey, Rob.
I'm calling on the cool or not cool.
Yeah, is it cool or not cool to look up a set list before you go see a band in concert?
Okay, so I know you're not into the country scene. Mike Olivero was generous enough to hook me up with Tim McGraw.
Yeah.
And I wished I had looked up the set list. John, can you believe he did not do one hit that ever made him famous?
I heard that about Tim McGraw. People have kind of been turning on him a little bit lately.
People were pissed off that night. And yeah. They're all looking at me, and I'm like, I don't write the set list. Yeah.
Why would they be looking at you?
Well, he's wearing a cowboy hat. He looks like he's official in the country scene community. So,
and I have a rule question for the show.
All right, hold on one second.
Whole show.
Let me just truck, yeah, Southern voice, All I Want is a Life, Tiny Dancer, and Elton John cover, Just to See You Smile, over and over. I don't know. Okay, that's his average set list for 2020.
Well, honestly, there was maybe – I think there was one hit in that stretch that you said just right there.
I think it was All I Want is a Life, and usually he opens – just like Garth Brooks, you know what they expect.
Well, sure. Yeah, Garth is
– You know what he's going to open with.
My I like question, it. I love though, it. That's a hit. Yes, yeah, so, what's your question involving a rule? Yes.
Okay, so say somebody calls in on Friday.
Okay.
And they got a really good point.
Yep.
And they're trying to address it, but then they want to call back for give Dick a rest. Is that an exception to the no call?
Yeah,
times?
If you got a funny give Dick a rest, then call on Friday for a funny give Dick a rest. Sure.
Okay, so I just wanted to clarify the rule because I've listened to you on Friday, and I want to kind of I really want to get John giggling about something. So.
Thank you.
That's all.
Yeah, I appreciate your desire to get John a giggling. I like when he's a giggling. So, by all means. You know, if you think you got a giggler. Right.
Drew usually just tickles me during the breaks.
Yeah.
The best giggles happen off the air.
They do.
When he comes over, he tickles. What he does, he crawls underneath the whole thing here, yeah. And I'll be sitting at my computer, and he starts tickling my tootsies, and I'll just be giggling away.
Drew Gobble Live with John Senning.
I'm sounding astonishingly sober.
On Roger Daltrey in the set list?
Yes, sir.
He's not performing for free, is he? He's not a free concert, right?
I'm pretty sure
so
that...
I'm paying a grip load of money. I'm going to research what I'm getting for my money as best I can before I plunk it down. If he wants to do free concerts, then he can tell people what they can and can't do.
Yeah.
So if you're paying money to see him, you're the customer.
You are, And this harkens back to Friday's discussion about, like, bands doing their hits. I feel like they don't owe that to you. It's cool if they do the hits, but I don't feel like they owe it to you. You seem like the kind of guy who might disagree, and that's fine.
No, they can do what they want.
Oh.
But if I can find that information beforehand, it's just like if I'm buying something at the store or Amazon, I'm going to research and see if it's going to fit my needs.
Yeah.
If I look at the set list and they're not doing the hits, maybe I don't buy the ticket.
There you go.
That is an interesting, the connection between those two conversations is definitely there because if there is a band that you like and rumor has it they're not doing the hits and that's what you're there to see,
right?
Then you now can be armed with that information to know that that's a ticket that you don't want.
Yeah. I don't think you were listening on Friday. I hope not. I asked Xander what he thought about the topic, like when I was getting ready for work. I was like, you know, artists not playing their hit, what do you think? He goes, three words, get over yourself.
The artist. Yeah, there's something to it. There's something super
douchey,
super artsy about it. I remember we were so freaking excited years and years and years ago with my mom and dad. And Danielle, we saw John Mayer in Orlando.
Yeah.
I don't know that I knew one song that he did. Like maybe he had one, but you want to talk devoid of the hits. Like, it was none of the songs that I knew. And I'm not just an only the hits with John Mayer guy.
Sure.
Like, I know the hits and I know a lot of his stuff. It was as if he picked a set list that I don't know who it was for. It seemed like it was just for himself, and I remember just being totally blown away, not in the best way, when we left there, feeling like I watched somebody that I didn't even know. Great guitar player, great voice, but he was one of the only people I've ever seen not just not do the hits, but not do a lot of songs that I feel like people were hoping to hear that night.
Somebody reminded me that Weird Al did an entire tour called the Self-Indulgent Tour where he did all of his own original songs.
Oh, the originals.
Like, no parodies.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, for the real fan, for the hardcore fan.
For the hardcore, because, I mean, I wouldn't have gone to that, but 727-579-1025. Drew Gobble Live with John Senning. Who are you?
My name is Ray. What's up, guys?
Hey, Ray.
Yeah, so my thought is, I mean, I've noticed, like the guy said, his ex, I've dated couple people or whatnot, and it always seems like if we go to a concert that the whole week before the concert. That's what we listen to anytime we're in the car. Like, it's like they're familiarizing themselves with the music, so they feel like they can go and enjoy it. Whereas if I go to a concert, I don't care who is on. If I'm vibing with the music, I don't have to know the song unless I plan on like singing my own concert to his music, and I got to know word for word, or I'm not going to enjoy myself. I go for the surrounding vibe. You know, the whole vibe of just being in the concert, live music is a vibe in itself. So, I mean,
it is.
I think that's a girl thing to do when they actually look it up.
Damn. Yeah, I get where you're coming from. Reggae Rise Up is a great place for me to go and not know a lot of music that the artists are doing, but to still, like, really enjoy it. Surfer Girl, perfect example. I knew maybe two songs, and he did about an hour-long set, and it was effing amazing. One of the best concerts, one of the best live shows I've ever seen. Yeah. Same thing with Yellow Wolf.
Yeah. It is those moments where you don't necessarily know what you're getting into, and it turns out being as good, if not better, than an artist that you knew every word to every song. It's, people prep different ways. I think that people like to get themselves excited, and it's not just about being able to sing along. I think some people, you know, we've talked so much about the money. For a lot of people, like, it's a big deal if you've dropped the cheddar to go see one of your favorite acts. And depending on who they are and where they're playing, you might just want to get yourself hyped up by listening to their music all week.
Yeah. Dirty Heads is a really good example of, I went in maybe knowing two songs the first time I saw them, and I've probably seen them three or four times since. And, like, each time I know more and more songs, and I'm blown away, like, how many people know their songs and how great it is when they all sing along. And I think, I wish I knew these songs like these people knew these songs. We're also talking about okay or not okay to encourage your partner to flirt, to get stuff. Does it end with drinks and bars? Like, you know, if your girl rolls up to a car wash, does she, like, you know, flash the hoots a little bit?
Well, I mean, you know, if you go to Bubble Down, it's only $5 for the unlimited membership. Nobody needs to do any of that. But what about, where do you think the average protocol for a man stands if he knows that his woman is being flirty to get out of a ticket?
I think most men are okay with
support
that.
It?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, how much is, like, if she told you, hey, I pulled my shirt down and I was, like, a centimeter from areola being out,
totally,
and I
fine.
Just had him spilling and chilling,
totally
you know, for the officer.
Yep. Absolutely great. Like, get yourself out of that ticket. Not whatever you have to do, but, like, almost anything you have to do.
Outside of physical touch?
Yeah. Like, just don't touch him and don't let him touch you. But anything other than that, like, you can touch yourself and be like, is there anything I can do to make you?
What if the officer asks if you'll allow him, Louis C.K. style, to pleasure himself in the backseat of his cruiser while you watch?
Was she just speeding?
She was speeding very much. It would be a reckless driving charge.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, absolutely do that. I don't want her catching a reckless driving charge.
But he's got a... Okay, never mind.
Drew Gobble live with John Senning. Who are you?
Hey, guys. My name is Clark.
Hey, what's up, Clark? How you doing, pal?
Clark.
Hey, guys. Just to chime in on the concert thing, I only go to see concerts of artists that I really like. So if they want to spring some surprises on me, I'm probably more than okay with that. And frankly, if I want to hear the hits, I mean, I can stay home and just listen to the CDs and the MP3s. So
yeah, and you'll get, like, different interpretations of the hits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But damn, concert tickets are so expensive now, though.
Oh, yeah. But like I said, if it's somebody I like, then I'm probably going to be okay with whatever they do. So, but that, again, that's just me. So
I'm with you. Thank you, Clark.
All right. Yep. See ya.
Where do you stand on completely different interpretations of songs?
I like it. But, like, sometimes in concert, you want to hear a true version.
Well, and it's funny when you talk about singing along because, and obviously the Kid Rock show is very fresh in mind for me. Only God Knows Why, one of his biggest hits. Dude, he did, like, a hard rock sped up version of that song where he was playing the electric guitar for it. And, I mean, like, if you wanted to sing along, you wouldn't have really been able to. It was a complete reimagination. And it was cool. It was fun. But, like, I love that slow, sappy, sad old song. And at the time, it kind of clicked in my head. I'm like, this is really cool, but I would like to hear the song as I know it as well.
Yeah. Did he do Picture?
He did Picture, yep.
Who sings the female
part? He's got a woman. He's got a woman. Dude, that's the other thing, dude. He had strippers on both sides of the stage.
Oh, yeah.
And then had dancers that came out. And there was this one point where he's like, yeah, we can do that Justin Bieber S too. And they did like a choreographed dance and everything.
Oh, it was Bobby.
He was playing the saxophone. And he gave the saxophone to a kid in the front row. I thought that was really cool.
That's nice.
Bobby boy.
Todd said, I feel this is equivalent to an NBA or NFL team not playing a superstar player. For example, if I know the Chiefs are resting Mahomes, I have no interest in paying to see him play. If the Mavs are resting Luka, I'm not buying that ticket for the Mavs, so that's why I always look up a set list in advance before going to a show with a featured headliner.
That is interesting. I also feel like you get into artists where the hardcore fans are more apt to understand that. Like Radiohead is the conversation of the past. If you're a hardcore Radiohead fan, like, those people seem like they'd be into hearing a bunch of different stuff. Like, if you bought a ticket just to hear Creep, like, that's on you, I guess.
It is, but I mean, to argue against the way I believe, a lot of those people aren't hardcore Radiohead fans, and they want to hear Creep, and they don't know that they don't do Creep, and maybe Radiohead should do Creep. Hi, Drew Grubble live with John Senning. Who are you? Hello?
Hey, this is Lee.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How about you?
I'm good. I just wanted to comment on the band thing.
Yes, sir.
I went to see the Eagles last year.
I'm sorry.
And played a bunch of my favorite songs and some I don't really care for. But during the concert, Joe Walsh played a solo, and it was the highlight of the whole concert. I'd never heard it before. So there's always something interesting to go and see, I think.
Yeah, that's what I love about live music is you'll probably see something that you'll never see again. You know, there's that moment of just stolen in time, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that was true. Joe Walsh's old ass, who has done more drugs than probably all of us combined. The fact he can be that old and still, like, the idea of playing guitar is something that I don't think my brain can compute how to do. So to be that old, that addled for so many years, and still be at the peak of being able to play the guitar is pretty damn impressive.
That's why I'd like to go see Santana. Not that he was addled, but he's 76
years
old.
He's still old as hell, yeah.
So how do your 76-year-old fingers manage to work that guitar?
Dude, let me throw something at you.
Hit me.
What do you think? Because I've always, you know, wanted to pick up an instrument in my life. It's never really happened.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think about seeing me behind the steel guitar?
I love it.
Like, I think I...
Like
I,
a little, like...
Yeah.
A,
yeah. You support it?
I do, 100%.
Okay, good.
I think that's the right instrument for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
you
I'm thinking...
You sit down while you're doing
yeah,
it?
Yeah, like, I'm hoping... My vision is that, like, by the time I'm 55, 60 years old,
yep,
I could play in, like, a band that plays in that does country music in bars.
Oh, I think if you were to start practicing right now, you could, by the time you're 40.
By the time I'm 40? Okay.
You could be playing in bar bands.
All right. And then by the time I'm 60, maybe I'm playing for, like, you know, Hank Williams or something.
Could
he'll be 90
the
at
third.
That point.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Third.